Well, the audience at Churchill Grounds really loved that. And if I would have been at that show, I would have loved it too, and I would have said, who is that organ player doing that incredible version of Sail On Sailor by the Beach Boys? That's what I would want to know. And I'm not going to answer that question just yet. Let me back up. Just bear with me for a moment. So me and a couple of buddies of mine, George and John, we'll call them, not the Beatles, went down to Atlanta, Georgia to enjoy baseball, the Atlanta Braves versus the San Francisco Giants. The Giants won, had to get that in there. But one of the things that happened during the game, which was a great baseball game down at the new SunTrust Stadium, which is fantastic, by the way, two thumbs up, three thumbs up. We were listening to the organ player, and thank goodness the Atlanta Braves have an organ player, right? A live organist at the stadium. And he was doing all this walk-up music for all the different players for the Giants. So, you know, Ring Around the Posey for Buster Posey and Hit Me With Your Best Shot for Brandon Belt. I get it. And I remember thinking the same thing. Who is that organ player? I got to find out who the organ player is. Because all during the game, the organ player was just doing these incredible things. He even played YYZ by Rush. Okay, right there, you know, I'm going to love it. I got home, and I looked it up, and the organ player is a guy named Matthew Kaminsky. Now, Brandon Hollingsworth, of course, already knew everything about him, and he told me about his Twitter feed. I started checking out this organ player, Matthew Kaminsky, for the Braves. Well, it turns out he's the guy playing on Sail On Sailor, the song we opened with. So I called him up, and I said, I want to interview you for Improvisations because you're a great jazz musician who also is the organist for one of the great sports, baseball, in the United States of America. So I drove down and I interviewed him. And here's the interview. Now, when you joined this jazz ensemble, you didn't have any history or background in jazz, correct?
Well, I guess I had history in playing music from the 20s and 30s. Okay. So I was playing standards. I remember as a kid playing Cherokee, and I was playing, there's a song called Tico Tico, which is not really a standard, but they were very jazz-like. But I was playing them more in a, I guess more of a theater style on the organ. So no, I had no clue that jazz could be played on the organ, or even on the piano. Really, I didn't have a clue about jazz when I started playing in the jazz band. Just my friends were in the jazz band and they needed someone, and they knew I could play. So that was quite a shock in learning that first year of, you know, what everything was about.
Did at any point you discover like Fats Waller or, you know, because he had a history of organ and jazz music?
Yeah, well, my first introduction was to Joey DeFrancesco. So my jazz band director knew that I played the organ as well as the piano, and he let me borrow his Joey DeFrancesco CD, the one called Reboppin'. And once I heard that, I'm like, oh, I could do that. You know, I had no clue like what it would even sound like, because it's pretty different from that kind of Lawrence Welk style. And then I ended up picking up a Jimmy Smith album called Foremost, which is kind of an early 90s release for him. And that's when I really, you know, kind of caught the bug, got really interested in it, because I couldn't quite see the possibilities of it until I heard those two albums.
How old were you when you got those albums?
I think I was a sophomore in high school, so 15.
Did your friends dig that, or did you go like, can you believe this? Or was this a style of music that a lot of your friends were not that interested in?
Well, the friends who were in the jazz band really just did it for more camaraderie, I think. So they weren't huge jazz nerds or anything like that. But I actually was one of the few that really started listening to it, whereas the other ones would just kind of listen to whatever we had to play in jazz band. So now a lot of my friends were listening to the music of the day, which was like Pearl Jam and Nirvana and or even Rush, and I still listen to some of that music, you know, to this day, or Fish, yeah, which is the jam band. I don't know if I stood out as one of the only ones, but I was one of the few who was really listening to jazz at that period.
And then how did you go from being just sort of a fan or really studying it to becoming a performer and making records and playing live and all that?
Well, I ended up going to the University of Arizona in Tucson, and I went there to study jazz. So I really liked it enough in high school to pursue it. And then I went cross-country because I actually grew up in Chicago. So I went from Chicago all the way to Tucson, Arizona to study jazz. And actually there were a lot of phenomenal students there, teachers. One guy, his name's Mike Eckroth. He's a pretty well-known pianist these days. Was a fellow student of mine. And I not only took lessons from my teacher at the school, but I took lessons from him. Because he was so good at the time that I wanted to kind of, you know, to accelerate my learning, I guess. So I went there for 3 years, or about 2.5 years, and ended up coming to Atlanta to Georgia State University. And I ended up finishing my bachelor's in 2000 at Georgia State University. And since then, I've been teaching, and slowly, you know, throughout college, you're kind of forced to take these freebie college student gigs. So they're more learning experiences, playing small gigs for the university and such. But after I graduated, you know, I slowly got into the, I guess the musician circuit where I was being asked to play at different gigs on weekends. And it was a slow build, you know. Some people come into a town and they're busy right away. For me, it took a while to get to know everyone where I was constantly busy. And when I say a while, it took a good 6 or 7 years to really gain, you know, that I guess that name recognition or to the point where people knew to call me.
If you just joined us, I'm in the press box at SunTrust Stadium in Atlanta where the Braves play with Matthew Kaminsky. He's a really fabulous jazz organ player and the organ player for the Braves. We'll get into more of that later, but let's hear some more music. This is Allison's Blues from his recording Swingin' on the New Hammond. Organist Matthew Kaminsky, Swingin' on the New Hammond is the album, the track, Allison's Blues. And he's our guest. We're talking way up in the press box at SunTrust Stadium where the Atlanta Braves play. Where did you record your live record? Can you tell me a little bit about the live album and the musicians on it? And also, are you a Beach Boys fan? Because you do Sailor on there, which is one of my all-time favorite.
Oh, great. I'm a huge Beach Boys. I would call myself a fanatic.
That's good news.
You know, when I was a kid, I would listen to all the surfing hits. And, you know, I loved I Get Around and, you know, Little Deuce Coop and all that type of stuff. But later when I got to college, I really got deeply into the Beach Boys and Pet Sounds, and there's a lot of bootlegs of an album called Smile that wasn't finished but then got finished. It was kind of a huge story around that, but yeah, I'm glad you noticed that. I recorded the album at a place called Churchill Grounds, which actually has closed down since, so that's where I was mentioning there's a little bit less places to play. However, I'm pretty confident that the owner of that, of Churchill Grounds, will open up again somewhere else. And he's already talking about opening something up for next year. But that was the place, or I guess it still will be, the place in Atlanta for musicians to really hone their craft. So that was the jazz club in Atlanta for maybe 20 years or so. And I had a quartet in Atlanta, that my kind of regular quartet that I was playing with at the time, and I still play with a lot of those guys. And I decided to bring in a guest vocalist from Chicago that I had known, a lady named Kimberly Gordon. And I actually knew her from just whenever I would visit my family in Chicago, I'd go out to a place called the Green Mill, and she was always singing there whenever I went to the Green Mill. So I brought her down to Atlanta, and we recorded a live record, which I'm really happy with. You know, for a bar next to a street with sirens going by and a lot of noises. I thought it might be kind of tricky for a live album to be pulled off, but the recording engineer, a guy named Brian Stevens, really did a good job of creating that live feel of that album. And we took half the album is kind of instrumentals of what I would play with my band in Atlanta, and the other half is the stuff that I would play with Kimberly whenever I went to Chicago or whenever she came over here. So it was kind of a cool collaboration between Kimberly and I.
And here is Matthew Kaminsky with Kimberly Gordon, "Just Squeeze Me."
I want you to know I'm just for your pleasing. Want you to know it really is teasing. Want you to know I go for your squeezing.
The Matthew Kaminsky Quartet live at Churchill Grounds. Kimberly Gordon on the vocal there. Matthew Kaminsky is our guest on this evening's improvisations. We're talking with him up in the press box at the Atlanta Braves Stadium. Why are we doing that? Because he's the organ player for the Atlanta Braves, aside from being a fabulous jazz musician. When we come back, we're going to dig into a little more about that, so stick around. This is Improvisations. I'm Todd Steed. I'm talking with Matthew Kaminsky up in the press box at SunTrust Stadium in Atlanta, where the Atlanta Braves play. Matthew Kaminsky, responsible for all that great jazz you heard in the last segment. Now we're going to talk about how he went from doing that to becoming the organist for the Atlanta Braves. So you're playing, you studied hard, you worked hard, you got the chops.
Mm-hmm.
How did you end up sitting here in a ballpark playing not jazz music typically? How did that happen?
Well, I do still put a little bit of jazz over here, but it actually kind of fell in my lap. So in 2009, one of my adult organ students knew the guy who was hiring to hire the next organist for the Atlanta Braves. And he said, "Would you be interested?" And that's really how it started. So without any warning, without any audition, without any like kind of press release saying that they're looking for an organist, I had no clue that it was even a possibility. So just one day out of the blue during a lesson, he said, "You know, I know someone who's looking to hire the new Braves organist." And from that conversation, it only took a week to get me an interview. And then I ended up auditioning during a couple preseason games, and I've been here ever since.
What was the audition like?
Well, at Turner Field, they used to have two or three preseason or spring training games. Usually the spring training games were always in Florida, but they used to have two every year over there. So it was just really testing me out to see if I would, I guess, fold under the pressure. So I didn't fold. You know, I think they wanted to see if I could really handle listening to instructions and playing at the same time. So back then I was separated from the control room, where I had to keep, in my headphone, I had to keep the producer in my ear while I was playing. And sometimes he would count me down, like say if I'm playing a song, he'd go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So just the fact that I could actually listen to instructions and play at the same time and know that I need to stop at certain points and really not be rattled by mistakes, you know, which happen pretty much every game. But I think they wanted to see if I could, just really hang with it.
Right.
And I think I did pretty well. Actually, my jazz training really helped with that. You know, I think if I came in as a classical musician and tried to read every single piece of music that I play here, number one, it would be very expensive. I'd be finding a lot of music. And number two, it would be a lot more pressure to just read notes. I love classical music and I love reading music too, but for a job like this, you really have to be using your ear at all times.
Do you get in contact with other baseball park organ players? Is there a baseball park organ players union? Do you have a club and a secret there, handshake? Or?
There kind of is a union. It's actually called Sonata. Oh, I forget what the whole acronym stands for. It's pretty much just a Facebook/Twitter group of us organists who, you know, will kind of converse about our jobs. And as far as baseball is concerned, I usually try to reach out to all those organists. I'll go on Twitter or I'll go on Facebook and I'll say, you know, hey, I've been playing in Atlanta since 2009. And I've gotten to know, you know, through social media, I've gotten to know quite a few of these organists, which is really cool because, you know, I think there's maybe only 16 of us in the league. There's 33 teams, maybe 32. So you got to think that there's only 16 in the whole world who's playing in Major League Baseball. So we have a pretty unique job. Now there are also a handful of hockey organists who I've gotten to know through social media as well, and even basketball organists. And actually, I'll be playing at Georgia State University for their football games. So I might be the first college football organist.
And your alma mater.
Yeah, my alma mater, which is great, which will be at actually what used to be Turner Field.
Right.
So they turned Turner Field into the Georgia State University football field, which is called Georgia State Stadium now. So it'll be kind of like going back home when I start playing for those games.
So when you're talking to these other organ players and you're talking shop, you know, what do you talk about? You talk about, I want to use this kind of a keyboard, or I'm so tired of Zorba's Dance, or Greek Chant, I believe, as you refer to it. And by the way, my wife and I on the drive down listened to your baseball organ CD.
Oh, great.
I was like, well, this is great, you know, because now I feel like if I got a gig at a minor league park that didn't have an organ player, I could bring these samples.
Yeah. Well, I purposely made, it's a digital album called Stadium Organ Sounds, and I purposely made that for Little League teams, high school teams, even college teams. Even though I do play for University of Georgia and Auburn for college games, I can't, you know, do them all. So I made all these tracks and for the purpose of these teams that can't quite afford a real live organist to use during their games. So that album is really just a functional album, you know. Of course, some people like to enjoy it listening to it in the car, like yourself. But it was really made for actual events or games. But I think this year I'm thinking about actually making more of a performance-based baseball organ album, where it'll be me playing kind of my favorite songs that I play here. You know, I love playing some Beatles songs and Beach Boys, of course, and even ELO, and even like a lot of the standards that I'll play over here. So I think that might be in the works coming up. But that Stadium Organ Sounds is actually really popular because I think a lot of people are bringing their little MP3 speakers or MP3 players, and they're just playing it at their ballparks, and I get emails from all different types of teams saying that they've been using my my tracks. So,
well, I can't resist. Let's hear Greek Chant from Stadium Organ Sounds. Matthew Kaminsky, take it away. Okay, and one more for those playing at home. Name this piece. Matthew Kaminsky's quartet with Kailu, I believe that's pronunciation. He's our guest on Improvisations. I'm speaking with him in the press box at SunTrust Stadium in Atlanta, and he plays all this great walk-up music for the opposing team's players Can you tell me a little bit about how you choose that music? It's really clever.
Well, you know, it's not all me.
I
have a Twitter address, and through the years, you know, a lot or even most of my songs have come from Twitter. So my Twitter address is @BravesOrganist, and people during the game and before the game will want to chime in, and you know, and they love it whenever I use their suggestion. I ultimately play this song that works best on the organ. So sometimes with current music, or say with anything with spoken word, like rap or hip hop, it doesn't quite come off well on the organ because it's hard to emulate that spoken word. There's not like a melody a lot of times. So what I ultimately choose is whatever is gonna sound the most familiar on the organ. But yeah, I do come up with a lot of them. Like usually, you know, before the first game of a series, I'll sit down for an hour or so and really think about what I'm playing. And you know, throughout the years, a lot of these players I've seen over and over again. So I kind of remember what I played for them last.
Do you have any in particular that you're really proud of that you've come up with?
Well, yeah, actually, this is kind of one of the stranger ones. A guy named Mike Morse. He was playing for the Nationals, but I think he might be on the injured reserve list for
someone
else.
He went to the Pirates and then the Giants. He played with the Giants, and now, yeah, he got hurt.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
With Bryce Harper and...
That's
Hunter
right.
Strickland, and
yeah.
So he's on the DL. So what was
Well, I play Morse code for him. So Michael Morse, and I just thought that was the coolest thing, like in a ballpark, to play Morse code. So at first the you know, the most recognizable, or if you even want to say that, Morse code is SOS. So I figured that out, like bum 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 bum. I think that's it.
Dot 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 dash 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 dot
yeah.
dot dot.
But then I figured out OUT in Morse code, and I think some of the military people in the crowd got it because they may know Morse code. But to me, that was kind of my favorite. I like the ones that you really have to think about. Like there's another guy, I forget his first name, but his last one is G-E-E. I think he's a pitcher for the Mets, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
So I would play, you know, the alphabet song. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I would hold it, and I would hold that note. And some people thought that I had fallen asleep on the on the organ. But a lot of people got it. They said, oh, he's playing G.
Do you look out and see people's, you know, see if people are like trying to guess? Because we spent the whole game, every time the Giants walked up, we were all like, who can be the first to get it? And a lot of times we would get the song but not get the why. And then someone eventually would go, oh, you know, Brandon Belt, hit me with your best shot. Okay, I get it. Shot Belt.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, my question is, do you look out and see if people are trying to solve it, or?
Well, it's hard for me to see it from my vantage point. So sitting up here in the press box area, I can't really tell conversations or like expressions on people's faces. But actually through Twitter, I'll get it, like right after I play something, people will tweet it right away. And sometimes that's not always the best gauge either, because I realize that the older audience might not be on Twitter.
Right.
So say maybe 60 and older are not on Twitter. So if I'm playing an old standard like Autumn Leaves for a guy named Cosma, there's a guy named Pete Cosma for maybe the Phillies, the older generation might remember that Joseph Cosma wrote Autumn Leaves. Or if I play Take Five for Ian Desmond, yeah, people like the older generation might remember that Paul Desmond wrote the song and played saxophone on the song, whereas the Twitter generation might not know that. So I always kind of keep in mind that I'm getting kind of maybe 3/4 of the reaction on Twitter, then the other fourth are people who are not on Twitter that you know, may still be enjoying what I'm playing.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes too, it's And what I play might be based on something that might have happened in the past week or may have happened that year. I remember, this was maybe like 6 or 7 years ago. Who was the player? He was a Phillies player from Hawaii. I can't remember his name. But he got beer thrown on him at a Cubs game. Shane Victorino. So Shane Victorino got beer thrown on him at a Cubs game. And the day afterwards, they came over here and played the Braves. So I kept on playing 100 bottles of beer on the wall for him. So if you weren't a sports fan and didn't know the situation, you would probably never guess that one.
So. Have you ever heard any feedback from players about their walk-up music or secondhand about?
Yeah, usually secondhand, sometimes from the reporters. So I know Jason Worth has said to the reporters that, because Jason Worth now plays for the Nationals, and he resembles Jesus a little bit, or a lot, really. He's got the beard, he's got the long hair. So I'll play a whole bunch of songs referencing Jesus. So I'll play Jesus Is Just All Right, What Child Is This, and then I'll play Stairway to Heaven. I think one of the years the reporter told me that he said, I can't believe he's playing those songs for me. So, I don't think I'm throwing the player off, but if I could get them to laugh a little bit, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Matthew Kaminsky, thanks so much for talking to us.
No problem. And I love Knoxville, Tennessee. I've visited at least 2 or 3 times. I love the jazz scene over there. I used to play with my salsa band, the salsa band I play in is called Orquesta Macuba, and we'd play for the Latin kind of festival there on Gay Street. So, Knoxville is a really cool town, so I'm proud to be on the radio station.
Yeah, well, let me know when you come back in.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
thanks.
I believe it's about time to release the old proverbial hound dog, and that's not a metaphor. It's a real hound dog, ladies and gentlemen. My guest again on this evening's improvisations, Matthew Kaminsky. This is Todd Steed, and coming up next, some more of that Beach Boys-influenced jazz. Yes, that's a real thing. This is Ken Poplawski, Caroline No. Mm-hmm.